Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby! Got you on my mind! Happy anniversary, baby! Got you on my mind!
Welcome back, 12 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating our 18th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Wrapping it up today, this is the end of it. This is the end of the celebration. The obnoxiousness level is going to go back down to regular. Notice I didn't say normal. We never use that word around here. But we couldn't have done this without our great Brain Trust members all these years who've stood by us, and we've really been featuring those who've been with us since the first year. That includes our good friend John Fox. John has been an abiding resource for us now for more than 17 years. He's a retired tax attorney, very successful Washington, D.C. practice. He's now a retired professor at Mount Holyoke College. He led a bunch of young people into the 21st century over the years. He's the author of a number of books, including If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, which we launched right here on this show. He's a pretty darn good golfer, too. John Fox, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim, and congratulations to you. This is really a great celebration all these years, and you were mentioning how hard small business people work, and yeah. I know that from all the years I represented them, but I don't know anybody who works harder than you and does a better job. So,
well,
congratulations.
I appreciate you saying that. Well, as you say, I mean, I gave a speech last night, and I was talking to the audience of young people, a lot of college kids, and I said, there's a reason why business failures are so high. It's because it's so hard.
Yeah, I don't know any. I mean, I represent lots of small business owners, and if the public knew how many hours they work 7 days a week, they don't go home and just do the garden or something. They take their business with them, and
it's called all in.
It is.
If you don't want to be all in, folks, be sure to clock in tomorrow. Whatever your job is right now, if you're thinking about becoming a business owner, if you don't want to go all in, then go ahead and clock in tomorrow and forget about the business. Hey, John, let's talk about some tax reform. Doesn't America need tax reform?
Well, it does. As you know, I've been writing about and teaching it. I've wanted to greatly simplify the income tax so that people paid more in line with their abilities to pay rather than their abilities to avoid taxes.
Mm-hmm.
The tax code is simply too complicated, tries to do too many things, and so we do need reform, but the problems are the responsibility of both Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah.
And they're
colluding against the rest of us, aren't they?
Well, you know, they run for office on promising people one tax break after another, and so people are, you know, think, well, that sounds wonderful, but mm-hmm. the consequences aren't being told by the Democrats or the Republicans.
But we don't need tinkering. We don't need a politician to come to tell us, we're going to make this little adjustment, we're going to make that little adjustment to make you happier. We need to jack this model up and run a new one under it.
Yeah, we need something really fundamental. The one time that we really made a substantial break was during Ronald Reagan's presidency in 1986.
That was a pretty courageous thing, but there was blood from that. I mean, there was a lot of collateral damage from that, but we got over it.
And there's always going to be there's no proposal for reform that doesn't hurt somebody, that doesn't have some negative consequence. What you have to do is look at the overall benefit, if there is a benefit, and there's a real benefit for people believing. At last, that if they pay their fair share,
right,
that others will too.
And what do you think about Hillary Clinton's tax proposals? What's she going to do with the taxes?
She hasn't. Yeah, we can begin with her because hers are shorter. She's not laid out any comprehensive program so far, unlike the Republicans. But she's the only thing that she's proposed of any significance is to tax capital gains at much higher rates, at ordinary income rates. For the top 1% or 2%.
Yeah.
That simply isn't of any significance.
That's not going to do much, and it's going to really be. It's going to have more of a negative consequence than a positive. Isn't it going to be a net negative?
Well, I don't know if it's a net negative. It's just a non-starter. It just doesn't do anything because there are lots of reasons why high-income people can avoid the capital gains tax. They'll manipulate this. So she needs to lay out something. She hasn't done it, but the Republicans have.
Can I stop you for a second? I want to stay on Clinton for a second because here's the thing, John. Here's what upsets me about this, and this comes back to what we were saying a minute ago about the way they use the tax code as a football. Her saying that, you and I both know, and she knows, it's going to be inconsequential, but it's a political statement. And so consequently, just like you said earlier, she's used the tax code, she's used that as a way to get people fired up and get a certain class of voter to vote for her, instead of proposing real reform.
Well, you know, I think that she stands accused, as you say, but
I would say the same thing about I'm going to say the same thing about one of the Republicans in a minute.
They're all doing it, and I'm happy to get into it because they really do. I mean, Hillary knows that she can fire up her supporters by going after the top 1 or 2%.
Class warfare. We don't need class warfare. Class warfare. We need tax reform. All right. Who's the top Republican that you would compare to Hillary?
Well, I think they all, you know, Donald Trump to begin with. Let me just say that one of the things that I've watched the Republican debates and that they are so critical of the rising national debt. It's they mention often that we now have an $18 trillion debt.
Right.
Now, and every single one of them increases the national debt. I mean, take Donald Trump, who's the frontrunner. And I'm looking at the analysis that was done by a conservative think tank, and they say that his proposal will lose $12 trillion over 10 years.
Wow.
And if you count economic developments, which, you know, the Tax Foundation, it's a conservative one, and many economists think that they gave too much credit to the economic bump. But even with an economic bump, he loses $10 trillion. Hmm. Rubio, for example, the Tax Foundation says that his proposal loses $6 trillion over years, but if you take into account robust economic growth through his, it still loses over $2 trillion.
Right.
So Bush loses $3.7 trillion, they say, and $1.6 trillion after growth. So you know you go for another, and nobody is saying, "Wait a minute, when are we going to start paying our bills?"
Right. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back with John Fox. He's going to have some solutions, some answers for us on the other side of these messages. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingham. Stay with me.
She was a bebop baby on a hard day's night. She was hanging on Johnny. He was holding on.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.